Jackson College. Their fall semester begins on Monday. Probably still time to get signed up. We check in with Dr. Dan Phelan. Dan, you ready to go Monday?
Absolutely. We are very excited about that. In fact, we just had 193 students move into housing over the last couple of days, which represents about about a 50% population. So for all those students, with one or two exceptions, they are all privately separated, and they have their own room, their own shower, their own toilet, their own bedroom. And so we're feeling pretty good about that. And, of course, classes begin on Monday, as you had mentioned. And not only that, we have put together as part of our overall programming, Greg, we've got a number of late start classes, too. So we'll have another set of courses starting in a couple weeks, and then 10 weeks and 7 weeks and so on.
How would you describe the model that you're going forward with, Dan?
Well, I would say our model is certainly highly highly sensitive to safety and well-being of all of our people. So I would say highly conservative is our model. Mm-hmm. We have been very clear in our orientations with students, whether they're living in housing or if they're coming for some ground-based labs that are essential for their education, that we all have to take care of yourself and another person, and that by really kind of subordinating our individual hopes and wishes for the semester in favor of the collective, we can keep housing open, we can keep the college open and the like.
I'm sure you've been following all the news the past couple weeks. It's been, I don't know, somewhat of a rocky start, I guess, on some of the campuses.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I was probably the most interesting one is the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
With over 500 COVID cases and they're remaining open. I was also noticing that my alma mater, Iowa State University, they've had, 120 or so. And interestingly, in Iowa, the governor closed all the bars around Ames and around Iowa City for University of Iowa. So there are lots of different strategies. I don't think there's a cookbook for this, certainly. I think everybody's trying what they can and trying to figure this out as we go. Certainly, there are lots of things that we're learning as we go, as we become smarter with the science and the data, and changes in authorities about how we manage this. So we're all kind of learning and doing our best. But at Jackson College, I've worked with our board of trustees closely on this, and we have really been focused on making sure that if we do go forward, it's predominantly online. We made that call back in, late February, early March, that we would be predominantly online for the whole academic year, not just for this fall. But we're planning long-term to give the best amount of time available for faculty to prepare for their classes, to get the software they need, shoot the video that they need, all of those kinds of things, and also for students to plan accordingly.
How is your faculty handling all this?
You know, they're amazing people. My hat is off to every one of the men and women of Jackson College, whether faculty or administrator or support staff, ground staff, cooking staff. Everybody has just been phenomenal. They've risen to the occasion. And as I was mentioning during a town hall meeting yesterday we have every day with our employees, I don't know. They just keep going and going. They're like the Energizer Bunny. We're dealing with so much, and of course, guidance is changing, and laws are changing, and those kinds of things. But these men and women reach into this wellspring of energy, and then just keep doing what's necessary. Our frontline staff and recruiting students, and their admission staff, our student success navigators. I tell you, in this time of crisis, you really see the nature and humanity of people, and I couldn't be more proud of the people that I get to serve with every day.
I noticed you have a number of new degrees you're offering, Dan. Two that caught my eye were communications and digital marketing, but there's about a half dozen, I think.
Absolutely. You know, there's no reason that we shouldn't continue to be focused on serving the needs of our students and businesses and industries. We have a job to do, and that's to prepare the workforce and help individuals transfer to baccalaureate-granting institutions as well. And so that we want to make sure that our curriculum is current, that it is as inclusive as we can possibly get it, and that we also look at restructuring different kinds of programs in a way that meets student and employer needs. So like I said at the beginning, not only do we have the traditional 15-week semester, but we're really laser-focused on keeping the customer at the center of our conversation. And what they're looking for is a quicker pathway to be able to complete their education, complete a course. So that's why we have, you know, 10-week courses. We have 7-week courses. In fact, the bulk of our programming is around 7-week terms. So in a traditional 15-week semester, you'll have 2 7-week terms, and you'll be able to move through with some dispatch. But as you pointed out, we're also making sure that we have degree programs and certification programs that are meeting the current emerging needs of employers throughout the area.
National accreditation for your nursing program. Talk about that.
Well, you know, we're really excited about the work of our nursing faculty and our academic administration. You know, the entire college, just like the University of Michigan, Michigan State Central, and others, we're all regionally accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. They cover a 19-state region. They're based out of Chicago. So that says that everything at our institution, just like Michigan, is high quality. Our Board of Trustees does a great job. Our faculty do a good job. We've got the finances to run. We've got a good plan. But in addition to those, Greg, there are independent accrediting associations that help to focus on particular programs like the National League of Nursing. So to just give that extra bit of support to our students and give a higher level of, quality that people might perceive, our faculty and academic administration advanced a pursuit of this accreditation from the National League of Nursing. It was a long process, Greg. This is 3 years in the making at least. And we had the team coming around shortly before COVID really started getting wound up. And to the credit of everyone involved, we were able to move this accreditation forward. So in addition to the standard institutional accreditation for the whole of the college and all of our programs, we have this secondary program accreditation in nursing, which I think is even more like a good housekeeping seal of approval for the quality, the high quality of our program. And that's something students can carry with them.
Very important program, certainly at this time, Dan.
You know, absolutely. And in fact, we were talking as our leadership council on Wednesday about our respiratory therapy program. We are trying to build that back up. We're in the process of trying to find another faculty member to be able to help with that. Of course, obviously a high demand field. I noticed that today the governor's note came out and said we're almost at 100,000 cases in Michigan. So not only have we continued to partner with Henry Ford Allegiance in our community, and of course when the big push wave, the first wave came, we were lending our respiratory equipment to all of them, and we're happy to do so. That all has been since returned, and things have quieted down a little bit, and so we're able to really start building our program, adding additional equipment and that kind of thing as we build not only nursing but respiratory therapy and other allied health programs, which are in high demand, as you might expect.
I know you received a chunk of that CARES Act money. Is any of that left for students?
Actually, no, Greg. We received about $3.9 million, and the way that the funding came to us, half of that was allocated to the institution and half to students. So because so many of our students weren't expecting to take online courses and because of associated fees and things that they needed to do, we actually took that administrative portion, and we helped to lower the cost of attending the institution by lowering those fees. We got on that right away, and that fund is now depleted. In addition, a slower amount of funding that we were trying to get rid of was the administrative portion, as I mentioned, and there was just so many guidance changes, we just couldn't deal with it.
Right.
It was just really problematic, so trying to get that in the hands of students was important. The student portion, we started off offering, trying to get money out to as many as we could, about $500, and it was just kind of lackluster, and we spent a lot of time talking about what are the urgent needs of students. We did surveying and focus group conversations and found out that the needs were greater. So we changed that up to $2,000, and your help and others helped us get the word out about that, and so that went pretty quickly. The bottom line to your question is that we took both the institutional portion and the student portion and pushed it all out to students. Those have all been depleted. And, of course, now we're waiting for the members to return to Congress after the Labor Day holiday. I think that there's a pretty good chance that there'll be additional stimulus that comes forward in the Stimulus 5 program. So we're hopeful. Obviously, we're lobbying pretty hard to our Michigan delegation to be able to help us that way. And, of course, we've got some national folks who are helping us as well. It is our hope that we'll get additional support so that we can help students get technology in their hands, laptops, and help pay some bills and help pay tuition as well.
For students that might want to jump on board next week, Dan, is the best way to go online or like I used to do, drive out there and see somebody?
Well, actually, if you come out to campus, you probably wouldn't be able to talk with anybody because you have to make an appointment in advance. So you can do that by either calling or you can get online. I'll tell you what, we've got technology and our student success navigators and admission staff happy to talk to anybody right away. Our phone numbers are on the website. Also in the phone book, just give us a call. Our switchboard is staff are on hand, so we'll get the calls routed to whoever you need to talk to. If you can't start on Monday, no problem. As I mentioned, we've got 12-week and 10-week classes, too, so we can get you into courses that will keep you going. The most important thing I would say to our listeners, Greg, is that I know many students and parents are disappointed that their students may not be able to get out to the institution that they wanted to go to, and so many of them have shut down, as you mentioned previously. But I want to encourage students and parents that students should continue their academic program. You can do that at Jackson College, and our credits transfer. There'll be no loss of credit, and, of course, the cost of attendance is much less. So you can use this time to study at home, study in a safe environment. We do have some ground-based classes. We have online classes as well. Many of those are interactive, so that's not when you want to do it. It's actually scheduled, so you see the faculty member and talk face-to-face. So lots of ways to study and short time frames to be able to study in. But the most important thing is helping students continue their academic progress, and we're here in partnership to help them.
Dan, good luck with the fall semester, and we'll check back in with you.
Sounds great, Greg. Thank you. Take care now.
Yeah, take care. Jackson Community College President Dan Phelan.